Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey there, everyone. Just me at the top of the episode to let you know about Josh Earl Talks. If you're in Melbourne, the show starts tonight, 8:15 at the Victoria Hotel, right next to the town hall there. It's on Little Collins Street. So make sure you come along. So this is, I've been working on this show for a long, long time. I'm really, really happy with it. I just want some people to come along. So if you're a fan of the podcast and, you know, you listen, so you obviously like the podcast, come along. I think these stories are the best I've got. And, some you'll go, oh, I think he mentioned that briefly on the podcast once. And, of course, I'll flesh it out, give him more detail and put in lots of jokes. So that is 8:15 every night of the festival, apart from 7:15 on Sundays and no shows on Mondays. You could do the double. You could do the podcast on Sundays at 3 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe. Go. That'll finish at 4. Maybe see another show, maybe another podcast. Go get some dinner. Then come and see me at 7:15. That'll be a good day out. So I would love it if you guys could all come. Share the links around. If you're on Twitter or on Facebook, give it a like. That always helps. And use the ticket deal, the cheap ticket deal. So for $15 tickets to my show, just type in JIRL when you go to buy them. It's a code word there. It actually says JIRL over it. Just type in JIRL. You'll get $15 tickets. Hopefully I see you there at the shows. Enjoy this episode. Super, super funny. I'll stop in between, tell you a bit more about the show. Anyway, enjoy. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom and who knows what because who knows why. My name is Josh Earl, and this week on the internet, just a lot of tweets about me begging people to come to my festival shows. Just someone buy a ticket. Just let me sleep. If this is your first time listening to the show, what I do is I get four very funny people and I quiz them all about their lives. So let's meet them now. Our first guest is a comedian who shares his name with a ski instructor in New Zealand. Can you please welcome back on the pod, it's Sam Taunton. Yes.
Oh, shit. Man. Ski instructor.
Well, I'm going Sam Taunton. This person is Samantha Taunton, but I'm sure she gets called Sam.
That was what I got called in high school.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Ski instructors are casual. She'd be a Sam.
Yeah.
I've never met a formal ski instructor. I'm Samantha. Oh, then she'd be call me Mrs. Taunton or Ms.
Sammy
Taunton.
Or Sammy. She'd be like the cool girl who's active and everyone loves her. Yeah. She'd be Sammy.
I'm Slopey Sammy.
Also joining us is a comedian who is still being topped on Google by the Against All Grains woman. You can't quite get that number one. Can you please welcome back from the Batch Bitch podcast? It is Danielle Walker.
Hello. She has a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
My mum has a copy.
Really?
Yeah, because my sister she's got a fucked stomach. Something's wrong with her.
Oh, I assume she bought it because, like, this is my daughter's
she's
name.
She's trying to, I don't know. Yes. Mum thinks that Casey's got, like, gluten intolerance or something, but. So she's been trying to get recipes that don't have gluten in them. But also Casey's like an 18-year-old girl, so she doesn't give a shit. So, Of course, her stomach's fucked. Like, she's going out just eating and drinking whatever the fuck she wants.
Yeah.
You got two toilets. Who cares?
It's impossible to tell with, like, a young adult whether or not they have an actual digestive disability or whatever because they're treating their body so shit from the ages of, like, 16 to 25 that I felt shit for years, but it was my own fault.
Do you know, last night I was vomiting last night and I was like, I've got food poisoning and I was, like, ringing people and then they're like, what did you eat? And I'm like, nothing. I had 7 beers, though.
Yeah, I had 7 beers and I'm 30.
So, get me that book.
Our next guest is a comedian and a writer who shares her name with a Chicago speech therapist. Mm. Can you please welcome from the Loner podcast, it's Kate Dennett.
Yay! Pronounced all that correctly. Well done.
I've been working on it. I have been working on my speech.
Have you really?
Yeah.
S's and fuzz and tuzz?
As a kid, I had a lot of speech therapy. My new show's all about this, so I won't go into it.
Give it some credit if you want more.
I have something called apraxia of speech.
What's that?
Yeah, what does that mean?
It means I've got an overactive mind and a lazy mouth. So there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to say the words.
Is your nose in the middle just being like, jeez, yeah, together, guys.
Overactive mind and lazy mouth is what women tell me I have in bed. Is that in your show?
No.
Yeah, you can have it.
No, because I thought I had dysarthria, which is when there's actual trauma or an actual issue with your mouth. And for me it was just lazy. Just didn't
so
open enough.
Do you need to do mouth exercises now? Like put weights in your mouth and...
I meant to put fingers in.
Oh, okay. So what I've never seen that at the gym.
What
I'm
meant to do is put two fingers in and say the sentence, then put three fingers in and say the sentence.
Dude, you're holding your fingers definitely like a gun at the moment. Like you're about to blow your brain.
What? It's that side. Not that one. That's easy to do that.
So you have to fist your mouth.
Yeah, pretty much. And then talk, and that'll clear it up.
What?
So
this sounds like a lie you made up when someone walked in on you.
Is it like a Little Britain sketch? Like a politician explaining why he was sucking a dick. Well, I have a speech impediment, and the only way to make it better is to suck a large penis.
And that's the catchphrase as well. The only way to make it better is to suck a large penis. And I'll stretch that out over a lot of seasons.
And finally is a man.
That was me penis, by the way.
Finally is a man who
shares. That's how they fixed him in the King's Speech.
Finally, the man who shares his name with a Boston bartender. Can you please welcome? It's Sam Malone. No, it's not. Can you please welcome from the Filthy Casuals and Ooh Spooky podcast? It is Adam Knox.
Yay. Oh, woo. Hey, you want a margarita?
I know I missed another podcast.
Oh yeah, I've got like 50 other podcasts.
Hey, I'm the only one here without like a podcast.
Get on it, man.
I also thought this was like a live episode at the Hi-Fi. I was like, I think I'm doing one of those. I told my friend, Tim, I was like, I think I'm doing that. And he's like, what? I was like, I think it's early before the festival. And he's like, I think it'll just be
2 o'clock on Monday.
Yeah. And now in hindsight, I realize I was wrong. There's no audience here. I was getting ready to do bits. You know? I had stuff ready to go.
You can still do it.
No. I've got to save it. Needs an audience to bounce off.
Because I take these ones just as seriously.
Oh, yeah. You guys ever lived in a share house before? That kind of...
Damn, that's a cool angle.
All right, our first game today is called Social Me Media. Well, I read out a status update from one of you four, and you have to buzz in, your name's your buzzers, and tell me who you think wrote the tweet. It's all from Twitter. If you're correct, you get a point. If you're incorrect, the person actually wrote the tweet, they get the point. So you can't buzz in for your own ones. First one is this one. This election, instead of a TV debate...
You need to shove some more fingers in their mouth.
I'm going to edit that out anyway. This election, instead of a TV debate, I want to see Scott Morrison and Bill Shorten forced a kiss on the lips, and whoever pulls away first will lose my vote.
Kate.
Yes, Kate.
How can Danielle write that?
No, that is Sam Taughton. That for Sam.
I got a point, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, point.
I have never done any tweet with any politician's name
but
in it ever.
Kissing.
Yeah, but kissing on the lips
kissing
is fun.
Kissing on the lips thing surely. Seems like a you.
What?
That's your brand.
Yeah. I never kiss on the lips.
All right, next question. Of course I got spaghetti sauce on my shirt. I ate spaghetti. What am I meant to somehow dodge it? I'm not a fucking acrobat. Yes, Danielle.
Oh, I don't know which one out of you two it is.
What did you say? She's looking at 10 minutes early then.
Why are you looking at?
Because I heard spaghetti and was like, Knox. And then I heard gymnastics and was like, Kate. I'm going to say Kate.
You are incorrect. It was Adam.
Fuck. God damn.
Got spaghetti all over myself. Deliberately.
You need to know what Danielle thinks of her.
Yeah, I know. She immediately went, food, Adam.
Sport, Kate. So you got out all good?
I'm the hot one of the podcast.
You're the Samantha.
I'm Sammy Slopes.
Question three. Quick, grab your jorts. No time to explain. Just hurry up and put your jorts on. Yes, Sam.
Is it Adam Knox?
No, that was Kate Denham.
You know, that tweet is currently, it's got a life of its own now.
It's going well.
Was it popping?
Going really well. I don't know.
What are the numbers?
Like, it's like, I think it's close to 200 now, but it's under 200. Yeah, I know you're looking at me because you probably get heaps of likes.
No, I get
all the
nothing.
Time.
I'm so bad at
Twitter.
You get
that look of like, that's not that many games.
No. I don't know what. Like, I don't know what. That's great. I would kill for that. Once I got 300, and I could talk you through the tweet right now. If you wanted me to.
I've never gotten to 300.
Do you think someone is just Twitter searching jorts? Do you reckon that's what's making that
I
one
don't
over
know.
The line?
I think
I want to live in a world where someone searches jorts on Twitter.
then they've just misspelled a real word.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that.
So, jorts are the, what are the skirt?
Jean shorts.
Yeah, oh, jean shorts.
I thought that was a jegging.
Yeah.
No, a jegging is a jean legging. That's they're not even made of jeans, I'm pretty sure. They're like just tight.
It's more legging.
Yeah.
So a jort. Oh.
A jort is a jean short. On an Australia day once where, just a random day. Actually, I was too hot, and so I cut my jeans off with like a broken piece of glass into jorts because we didn't have any scissors or knives or anything. I was like, I'm so hot, but I can't take my pants off because that's gross. So I'll cut. And anyway, I didn't cut my legs, but I really cut my hands.
So how did you have no knife or scissors, but you had a broken piece of glass?
Because I think we had bottles of beer and we were in the country.
Were you so break like the a, beer bottle you, on
yeah,
purpose?
Yeah, and then we took them off like, nah, I got to get rid of them. Jaws alive! Yeah.
It was your 127 hours moment.
Yeah. Anyway, that's why I invented jorts. Everyone's like, we should do that properly.
Did you say jorts of life before?
Jorts of life.
Jorts of life.
Good. Yeah. Mm.
Good. What's skorts? Skirt shorts.
It's shorts from the back.
Skirt shorts? Yeah. I'm just finding out about jorts. Yeah.
Skorts were popular in primary schools for girls, so girls could still sit down cross-legged.
Now, are they
but
not
you
culottes?
Still appeared to be. No, culottes are a pant that is like pleated to look like a skirt when you stand up straight. But when you run, it's just normal.
Like it's a normal skirt when you run.
Yeah, although they can actually just be big. I'm just thinking of the culottes that
they're
I had.
Culottes are
school.
Shorts?
Short, okay. Culottes are big, flowy shorts that, like Daniel said, look like a skirt when you're standing up, look like a pleated skirt.
Oh.
But if you go for a lunge, you quickly see in amongst the fabric that they are shorts.
So
trick
skirt.
Yeah, that's kind of skirt.
Skorts are just a pant, but over the front of the pant, there's a piece of fabric that you can pull over and do up so that it looks like a skirt. But from the back, it definitely looks like a short.
It's so weird.
I've got a bunch of shirts that used to fit and now they're jerts. Now that I've gotten fatter, my belly just shows. I call them jerts.
What's that a portmanteau of?
Jeans and shirts.
Anything's possible when you got a shot of glass.
Yeah. Yeah, don't think about it too hard, but they're jerts.
Question 4. If anyone wants to see a video of someone squeezing blackheads out of a pig who is being pampered, I have a link.
Adam.
Yes, Adam.
That is Danielle.
You are true. That is right. Yeah.
Thank you. Now, how did anybody think I did the political tweet before?
The only ones Danielle is going to come up for are like, I was live birthing a cow the other day.
What?
Oh, blood all over my jorts.
But you do have quite a lot of your tweets are, I have this video if you want to see it.
Is it?
Yeah, you have a few of them.
I do have a few.
Going back through.
Fun videos.
Yeah.
So pigs get blackheads.
Yeah, it's called Esther the Wonder Pig. She's on Facebook.
I've heard of her.
Yeah, and she
she said that like she was like a girl in a social group. I have seen her around before. Yeah.
She seems like a nice lady.
Yeah, skin problems, great. But
she has like the cutest little hats that are made for her big ears that go over her ears for the wintertime. And yeah, her dad is like squeezing the blackheads out of her.
Her dad. The other pig.
Sorry, a man. A man who.
His hooves wouldn't have the dexterity.
They don't have hooves. They have trotters.
Yeah, what do I don't know what they're called? They're pigs. I stay away.
Oh, does that mean if you eat pork, there can sometimes be a blackhead in your pork?
I mean, you're not eating the face of the pig. But
you can get a blackhead.
You can eat the face.
I mean, you know what? Somebody told me, I can't remember who, I think it was Reese. I think it might have been Reese Nicholson. He said he got
I thought this was going to be the name of like another farmyard animal.
He got a piece of pork belly once and it had either a nipple or a belly button on it.
Oh.
I think he said that. Well, yeah. And he said they cut it off. And
he said it was the luckiest day of his life. I went and bought a lottery ticket straight away.
I got to eat pork and drink milk at the same time. A whole meal.
That isn't that gross, but also kind of fun. If you got the
it's super fun.
Like I eat meat
living on the land.
Anytime you eat a piece of meat that reminds you that it was an animal, like when there's an obvious tendon or like
or
a bone,
an eyeball.
Yeah. Eyeball. Yeah.
Like a face, a whole face.
Screaming noise.
You know what's nice? Like a nice quiche. Just like vegetarian quiche.
Yeah.
No faces in that.
No faces, yep. plant-based, pretty good.
At least if you find a nipple on a pig, though, you can be like, well, it used to be a pig. If you find a nipple in your quiche, you're like, well, this has a whole story to it. I need to call the police, I guess. I had a fucking taxi driver once, or an Uber driver, I guess, that told me this whole story. We drove past a servo, and he was like, I bought a donut from there once and had a tooth in it.
What?
Oh. Yeah. And he said he got like thousands of dollars from this donut company because they're like, sorry about the tooth.
I'm going to say he was lying.
Didn't Dave O'Neill have a movie about that? Like a man found a finger in a pie or something and then got.
Completely different.
No, well, it's sort of.
Same thing.
Donut finger pie.
Okay, like,
what do you
mean? That's almost exactly the same.
Well, Dave O'Neill's movies are The Nugget or Takeaway.
Oh,
he wrote The Nugget and was just in Takeaway. So I think
maybe it's The Nugget.
Okay.
And then one of the characters' side stories was that he got heaps of money. He got 200 grand or something because he found a.
That's such a crazy thing to have as a side story.
I don't know. It seems like a whole movie, doesn't
it? Could be. Maybe you had the same Uber driver as me and you were just remembering
I had an Uber driver that told me he had 6 fridges the other day. We're just driving along. He's like, by the way, I've got 6 fridges. And I was like, what? Like, he didn't.
Was he trying to offload one?
No, he was just kind of. I think he was bragging about, like, in his head, it's better to have more fridges, but it just brings up so many other questions.
I can't fit a whole human in one fridge. Exactly. So.
That's right. So you got 6, you split them up, move them around. It's great.
That guy's dextering his clients.
Absolutely.
All right, question 5. I had one period of working very hard and very effectively for about 4 months in 2010, and it made me overestimate myself ever since.
Sam.
Yes, Sam.
Adam Knox.
You are correct.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yep, moving on. Let's go.
I'm ready for my trophy. Yeah.
What is it about me and the way that I live my life that made you think I may underachieve these days?
No, I saw you. I saw the tweet the other day. I think I liked the tweet. Yeah. I felt like it's not me. There's no skill in that one. It's just me remembering something I've seen.
Question 6, heat mapping, but for where people keep their plates and glasses in kitchen cupboards.
Danielle.
Yes, Danielle.
Kate.
You are correct. Yes, there is a point there for Danielle. Yeah.
Now, thank what does me. That tweet mean? Jorts, I understood.
So it's like in an action movie, like Commando or something, where they put the goggles over and it's heat mapping and you see people in the bushes, only it's that, but you see where plates
it's,
are. Yeah,
it's right. A great business idea because you always pop into a kitchen and you're like, where are the cups?
Where exactly? And you open it where you think it should be and then everyone else has a different standard with their kitchen.
I was imagining like a weather map, like a weather heat map from above where you still wouldn't be able to see. Because everything's stacked. What about glass cupboards?
Well, you can see through them.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
Are you just saying we all get glass cupboards?
Yeah, what if everyone just has to have glass cupboards now? Or what if people who come to your house don't fucking randomly open a cupboard and go like, are the cups in here? I had that happen the other day and it was like something in there where I was like, I just shoved it in there to move it out of the way and it like, I think it was a pizza box. Oh, yeah. I had like...
Wait. Pizza box next to the wine glasses. Someone ran into your house, opened up a cupboard and was like, is it here?
I'm misremembering a story. So this is ages ago when they like installed the NBN in my apartment at the time and it was like messy and the dude was coming around before I thought. So I was like, oh, fuck, I got to clean up. And I had like a couple of pizza boxes sitting there on the kitchen counter. Not that weird. I probably could have left them.
Absolutely.
But I was like, nah, he's going to judge me. So I put him in the cupboard. But then he opened that cupboard to be like, yeah, we could put the box in here. And then pizza boxes went like, boom, boom, boom. He's like, nah. In the left one.
Because my mum keeps her plates in a drawer and it does my head in.
Yeah, like, my mum's doing that these
days. We never did that when we were growing up and now she's got
her own
house.
Is it a big drawer though? Is it like a big slidey drawer?
It fits enough plates in it, yeah.
Yeah.
But plates aren't a drawer.
But how many plates does she own?
Oh, probably 8.
Yeah, that's fine in a drawer. If you had 16 plates, you can't put them in a drawer. You need to stack them in some kind of large cupboard.
When people will stack differently sized plates on top of each other as well. So you're like,
crazy.
I need a big plate, so I've got to move 50 small plates
absolutely.
Out
it's
of the
not
way.
On. Absolutely
our whole
not
kitchen
on.
Is like that. We don't have any kind of matching anything and it drives me crazy.
If
and
you have...
I just really want to go to IKEA and replace it all, but then I'm like...
Do you know I don't own a plate or a fork? I own nothing.
What are you talking
what
about?
You mean you don't own a plate?
I'm homeless at the moment. I've got I don't own anything. I've got a laptop and that's it. And a phone.
This actually kind of explains something because when I got off the train to stop later than you.
You saw me on the train.
I saw you hop off once the train was moving.
Holding a bindle.
You were...
It's like looking like Blinky Bill.
You were like this. You were like the wind was hitting you and you're like.
I didn't like bring my wallet today. I don't know where my wallet is.
For the listener, Kate was putting her hands to her face and her body.
just like frantically like, where am I? What year is it?
Like, look, it's kind of like that, yeah. And I just haven't been in a house. I've been traveling around. I've got nothing. I don't know where I am.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. It's awful. I'm trapped in this world of nothingness, of minimalism.
And we're loving, not helping.
Yeah, none of us are going, oh, you can stay at mine for a while. I'm there. You're fine.
No, I've got accommodation sorted out.
Oh, that's good. But I don't want you opening my fucking
cupboards.
Nothing
permanent. Okay. Anyway, oh, all right.
Hey, do you want 16 mismatching plates?
I would actually, yeah.
Okay, terrific. Yeah, great. Yeah. Come around.
I could have a meal.
Question 7. A lot of times on planes, I get seated in an exit row, and every time I smile and say I'll help out in case of emergency. But the truth is, I reckon I'll crumble at the first sign of danger, crack under the pressure, and risk everyone's lives. Love that leg room, though.
Adam.
I heard Adam first.
Hell yeah. Taunton.
You are correct. Yes, put there for Adam. Yeah.
I would absolutely pick you and incorrectly assume that you could help out. In an emergency.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, I'm going to go down. Yeah, I have nothing to live for. I don't own anything. I don't have anywhere to go. I'm just on this plane because I was cold.
This is the closest thing I've had to a house in so long. Yeah.
This is just like a middle class way of riding the bus all day.
Do you guys get that survival thing happening in your head when you hop on a plane? Because I do.
What?
Like you plan out what you do if
first. Because I heard that if who would I push out of the way first?
Yeah.
I've heard that if you are within 5 rows of an exit, you have like a bazillion. It's like a huge percentage leap between your survival. So
are
you
kidding?
Yeah. So I always try to get within the 5 of the exits. And I'm always ready to be like, all right, what do you need me to do? Like, I'm always ready to like...
to just jump in at the first sign.
Like, I'll get that, no worries, ma'am.
Nah, I reckon you're going to straight to like the eye gouge so you can be first to jump out of the plane.
Yeah.
Then they'd be like, why'd she jump? We're going to land at a different airport. You're like, let me out.
Swamping down a nearby mountain because I called it too early.
Yeah, a ski instructor's there going, oh my God, this is the worst I've seen in all my years of being Samantha Slopey.
Sammy, help.
I'm just absolutely fine with death. Every time I get on a plane, I'm like, eh.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. It's a slight bit of turbulence. Like, you quickly make peace with the fact and you go like, I'm ready to go.
I'm happy.
Totally. And I get off a plane every time being like, oh, I've got like no people who would miss me.
like three.
But like, because if you get in turbulence, you're like, oh, I wonder who would come to my funeral.
What?
Yeah.
Do you think we would?
The survivors of the plane would.
I think you probably would, but I would have a different secret one that people had to find out about to see if they really wanted to come.
So we're not invited to your real funeral, and you're
no
upset
one is.
That no one's
that you're not coming to my fucking obstacle course
we've
funeral.
We've just found out that you fucking hate us. Yeah, you know what? I won't go to your second funeral.
Can you promise me at your funeral that no one's allowed to get up and do your material like sometimes happens at comedians' funerals?
What do you mean?
Does that happen?
Yeah, sometimes people get up and as a tribute they do their material and it's always the worst.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, why would you do that?
Stage time.
Now, that is a tough gig, to be fair.
Yeah.
Some people can't see that the person is an actual person, not just a comedian. So they're like, oh, this was their entire life.
No, is it real people or is it comedians doing that?
Comedians doing it, thinking
this is my
tribute.
Yeah. What's wrong with everyone in this
goddamn
industry?
That's what the first thing I want everyone to forget.
Yeah.
Is any joke I've ever told. I want that to die first.
In fact, there can be no reference that I was a comedian at my funeral at all.
Sam Taunton was a technologically advanced homeless man.
Yeah. Love the leg room.
He shared his name with a ski instructor.
Yeah, called Sammy Slow. That'll just be Sammy Slow. It'll be say welcome to Sammy Slow.
All right, question 8. Business idea. Food court where you pay in the currency of the country where the cuisine is from.
Okay.
Dania.
Oh, I heard Kate first.
Okay. Adam.
No, that was Sam Taunton.
Oh. Once again, thank you so much.
What were you going to say, Daniel?
You, but then you buzzed in. So I was like, all right, yep, no happy.
That food court idea is the sort of crazy idea that a man who doesn't own a wallet would come up with. Doesn't understand money.
A man that doesn't have a house who's in food courts a lot eating. There's so much space here. It feels like I'm in a big lounge room.
Question 9. Big shout out to the followers who are only here for a couple of days and leave when I don't follow them back.
Sam.
Yes, Sam.
Kate.
You are correct. Yes, another point for Sam.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that after that popping tweet?
No. That was that one was a while back when things were still as equally as grim as they are now. And I have one tweet that suddenly...
It's so funny to make people talk earnestly about their Twitter feed. Just to be like, can you run me through what happened there? You're like, well, I was taking a big shit and I just was feeling myself, you know?
Please don't read my tweets at my funeral.
And our last question.
Oh, God.
Oh, the worst.
That'd be a fucking nightmare. At least by the end, no one would be sad anymore dead.
Well, that one.
And our last question for the round. A gecko's defense mechanism is to drop its tail when a predator attacks. My defense mechanism is to say, maybe when an old man tries to give me joke ideas.
Sam.
Yes, Sam.
Kate.
No, that was Danielle.
Oh, that was Danielle. The animal.
The gecko, yeah.
And I was like, as if this isn't. Yeah. But I didn't get in quick enough.
At the end of the round, the scores are Kate on 1 point. Danielle on 2 points, Adam on 3 points, been in the lead on 4 points. It's Sam Taunton.
Yes. Do you know I've never lost this podcast, I think.
Really?
That might be wrong. I don't know if you know. I feel like the times I've done it, I've won.
I want to take the last thing you have in this world from you today.
Can I say I've only been homeless for a week? Like, things are not that bad. Like, I just had to move out of my place and I was coming to Melbourne, so I'm like, there's no point getting a new place. I'm not. Things are okay.
And you're in Sydney, and Sydney housing market's really easy just to
slide into. You need so little money. It's fine.
It's warm enough to sleep on the beach half the time.
Did you just take stuff to your family's house in Wollongong, or do you not have enough? You just could. You have so little stuff that you could just put it in a bag and bring it.
Oh, it's a lot. I just threw so much stuff out.
Okay,
like every plates. I was just like, I don't want stuff.
Plates.
I did have plates, but now I don't have plates. My friend Tom Cashman had most of the stuff in the house I was in.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so it's like, but I had stuff, but now I've gone less stuff.
Okay,
I threw a bed out. Anyway, it's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Hell yeah! No, that feels great. Throwing out furniture and like shit that you could move is the best feeling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, we couldn't get rid of a bed, so we cut it up like murderers.
Did that feel good though?
No, it was like fun at first, but then it very quickly was like a full fucking nightmare.
Can I ask what you cut it? Because I feel like you guys don't own a power saw. Like,
no.
A jigsaw from my dad, and we're up on the third floor of an apartment being like, and the next day we both had like bruised arms because of the.
Did you cut the mattress?
We cut the mattress and the white and the base, the whole thing.
Was it a spring mattress or foam?
Yes, it was spring.
Yeah. Oh my god, that sounds dangerous. Yeah.
And then we had to walk it around the suburb because our bins we couldn't fill up our bins. So we just
with half mattress.
We deposited the body in a variety of different locations over Melbourne.
Put it in a backpack, throw it in a river.
It was a nightmare.
Leaving the house without your phone so you couldn't be tracked by anyone. All right, this round is called We Are Family. Now, we all have family. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's not so good. And today we're talking about those interesting times that have stayed with us. And today we're talking about a young Danielle Walker. Now, one day, Danielle was with her mum when her mum's face changed, and at first Danielle thought that her mum was having a heart attack, but then her mum just yelled out, "Get the dogs, boil the kettle." When Danielle turned around, what did she see on the back patio? Was it A, three snakes in a ball having a massive fight? Was it B, a cassowary walking about and tearing up the shoes lined up outside? Or C, the neighbour's goat with a raging hard-on charging into the wall as one of Danielle's dogs were in heat?
Oh, my God.
Now, one of these is true. You can ask Danielle. You can ask Danielle as many questions as you want. Bear in mind she wants to get it wrong, so she gets your point. You don't have to guess together. You can all guess individually if you want. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
Okay, I got a question. What does a goat penis look like?
Just sort of like, have you ever seen like a dog's penis?
Yeah,
heaps of times.
Kind of similar to that.
Cool.
Like so many times.
It's got the woolly pouch and the pink bit.
That and it looks like an inside organ rather than a...
Yeah, it's sort of like, have you seen when girls have lip fillers and the inside of a lip comes out?
Yeah. It has like a little tattoo that says precious along it.
Oh, my God. Were you aroused?
No! I was a child.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not into goats either.
I was a child. No, I wasn't yet sexually mature. The only reason.
If I was 16, obviously I would have
been. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Was the boiling of the kettle just because cup of tea, or was there like was the water going to be used somehow?
Well, it's like a painful thing if boiling water hits you. So mum was going to boil the kettle, throw it at the animal.
Mm. Oh, right, so either the snakes, the goat, or the cassowary.
Now, a cassowary is some kind of bird with a pretty Is it?
It's like a very vicious, massive bird.
Is it vicious?
Yeah.
Birds are not vicious, are they?
They look prehistoric.
Yeah, no.
Centaur, it is the biggest bird. I'm using your whole name. Yeah. Centaur, it is the biggest, most vicious bird. So they have like a sort of what do you call
like
it?
Like a helmet, a rock.
Yeah, it's like a helmet on its head. It's like a massive rock, and they like hit people with it. But they also have these massive talons, and they attack you. And they got beaks. They're actually in a book that I have called Australia's Deadliest Creatures.
Great. Yeah.
There was someone told me a story, or like I watched it on TV. I don't remember where I consumed this information, but there was like a road they were building in Queensland that they ended up stopping construction on because there were too many cassowaries and they were like coming up to the builders and like fucking them up.
They're very vicious.
What?
So basically we were at my Uncle
Just
Billy's.
Just get a bit of bird seed and say, see you later.
Nah, they want meat. They're meat eaters.
Yeah.
What's the water going to do? It's like, got a rock on its head.
Basically, so we're at my Uncle Billy's and he was like away and he has this pet cassowary. So he like hits this like... It's like a wind chime, but it's made out of forks and spoons, and that's when the cassowary comes down from the rainforest and he, like, feeds it. But he wasn't there and we were just staying at his house for a bit, so Mum called to get the dogs in because she didn't know if it was all right for the dogs to be outside with the bird. So she called it inside and said to boil the kettle because she thought she could, like, throw the water on the bird to shoo it away for a bit.
Sure.
Jesus.
Wait, so does your mum often throw boiling water on animals?
Yeah, it's a go-to.
To maim them and then they just slowly die from infection out
Yeah, don't get close to my mum.
Working and a living on the land.
So the three snakes that were fighting, they were like tangled up in a ball.
Yeah, it was like mating season.
Okay.
They were fucking.
Well, no, they were just fighting. I assume it was mating season.
How do snakes fight? Do they, like a rat king tail situation, and they just get caught up?
Wait, you need to stop talking about rat kings because nobody knows what a rat king is.
Right, everyone about rat kings.
Do they?
Yeah.
It was just, I had to get Sam to explain. Okay.
I did a whole bit about it, and I can actually say the audience definitely, either the bit wasn't funny, which I refuse to believe. The audiences actually don't know what rat kings are because there was met with a lot of confused faces and a lot of silence.
A rat king is when a bunch of rats get their tails stuck together, right?
Yeah. And then there's a dominant rat. That has to then lead the rat king because they all have to follow, otherwise they'll die because they'll be like fighting each other. So they have to lead. One rat has to lead.
Okay.
Because they're stuck.
Okay. Well,
is that what happened with the snakes is my question.
I mean, I guess so. They were just sort of like writhing all amongst each other and sort of like attacking their heads at each other.
One snake but they was getting cucked. That's all that happened.
Is a snake threesome just the, like, does it just look like it's two snakes kissing?
They were. Because
the other snake is in the middle of. Oh, I'm just separately asking.
I think. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen the snake threesome. I haven't seen
Can I say, regardless of what is true, all terrific.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed this so far. A crazy bird with the rock on its head, a snake threesome, and then a boner. Like, it's not getting any better than this.
That fucking knives and forks thing about your uncle was a big, like, A, weird, and B, a detail that makes me think it was the cassowary one, for sure.
So you're going to lock in B, a cassowary tearing up shoes?
I would like to lock in the what was the one with the erection?
No,
the goat.
The goat, because I have heard that you put water on things when they've got erections. Animals, when they've got erections.
Because you've been put in the shower too many times?
Of Everybody Loves Raymond.
You're better off with a silicon-based loop. Water can be a little bit.
That or a cold teaspoon.
The cold teaspoon. That's a great trick.
Kate, what does that do?
Well, it just doesn't feel good. Dude, we'll try that.
This is, I don't know how true this is, but boys who grew up in a nunnery, the nuns would go around when little kids had erections, they would hit them with a cold teaspoon.
Oh, like on the tip of it?
Yeah,
oh.
and just have a generation of men with weird fucking sexual fetishes.
Jesus Christ, and disgusting tasting coffee. What?
I'm going to lock in the snakes.
You're locking snakes? The correct answer was snakes. So point for Kate and 2 points.
My Uncle Danielle. Billy did have a wind chime, though, any pet cassowary who would come down. That was just a wind.
He had a pet, so you can train them to be nice.
No, it wasn't nice. Okay. He just like would ring the wind chime, it would come down, and it was okay with him throwing the scraps out. His wife would be inside all the time.
That is a big bird as well. So they're about the size of an emu.
I think they're bigger.
What? Yeah. I've got to Google. I've never heard of this
You've
bird.
Never seen a cassowary.
I thought they were like a pretty bird, like one with a nice coat, and they were fun.
No, they're kind of.
Sanctuary while you're down in Melbourne.
Okay. They're very scary.
Is there accommodation there?
imagine a bush turkey, but like 14 times the size with a thing on its head.
Oh, I heard that bush turkeys are actually called brush turkeys. Is this true?
Well, I've always called them bush
turkeys.
So
have I. And then the other day someone was like, they're brush turkeys.
Brush turkeys.
Well, maybe, but I don't know.
Native hens as well. In Tassie, they're called turbo chooks. And then I came over here and said turbo chooks.
That's
and
a DreamWorks movie. There's
imagine
no
trying
way.
To have a serious conversation saying turbo chooks. Yeah.
That's like you've only ever seen one other type of chicken.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's like a turbo chicken.
That chicken with a V8.
Yeah. Chicken's doing a fucking burnout.
But with the water on the snakes, did your mum get close enough or was it?
Yeah, so basically what you do with snakes is you pour the boiling water on them because that will kill them. It'll also like writhe and freak out. So,
oh, my God.
It's actually a sad end to the story.
Well, I mean, Mum didn't want the snakes around to kill any of us kids or the dogs, so she threw the boiling water on them to sort of, shock them, and hopefully they'd die. They die a very slow death. And then she called my granddad because he lived just up the road, so he came down and chopped their heads off with a shovel. And then we hung them over the fence.
Okay.
As a warning to the other snakes?
No, to birds.
So the cat's where he sees that, and it's like, oh, fuck, I'm not going near
there. Jesus Christ.
So they're more a warning to the birds.
So we put the snakes over the fence near where the passion fruit vines were to keep the cockatoos away from the passion fruit. And then when it was time for a burn pile, we'd take the dead snake bodies and put them in the burn pile. So if we ever had a dead snake, we put it near the passion fruit vine or whatever vegetable you don't want the cockatoos to get
to. Sure, yeah, build a rope swing out of them.
Yeah.
When you're in the bush, you got to use what you got.
It's like your house was just under attack every day. Every day waking up going, we've got to defend ourselves.
We would have snakes quite often.
Yeah.
My granddad had a snake in his shed. It was a carpet snake, but that was to keep the rats away. So it was sort of like...
Something's always trying to get in.
Yeah.
All right, at the end of the round, the scores are Kate on 2 points, Adam on 3 points, Danielle on 4 points. It's not on 4 points, it's Sam. So just taking a quick break there to tell you that it is Comedy Festival time. And today's show is brought to you by the lovely Cal Wilson. That's right. Her Cal's new show, Gifted Underachiever, starts on the 28th of March. So the day this comes out, it's at the Victoria Hotel as part of the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Tickets are on sale at comedy.com.au. Cal is one of the best comics in the country. You've probably seen her on her Netflix special, Things I've Thought Out Loud, as seen as part of the Comedians of the World series. Her new show debuted at Adelaide Fringe and received 5-star reviews from the Advertiser. And also was recently on an episode of Philosophy, which is a very, very good podcast hosted by Will Anderson, another friend of the show. So this year, this is what Cal's blurb says this year. So I'll read it out word for word. So Cal's been at this whole life thing for a while now, and she still hasn't quite nailed it. How can you reach your potential when someone left it on the top shelf? Cal's not sure if she has imposter syndrome or if she's just faking it. Everyone else seems to have got it together, but she's still not sure if she has all the pieces. So why don't people pull over ambulances? That is true. Pieces of shit pull over, okay? Has she done enough with her life? Does anyone eat Brussels sprouts by choice? Brussels sprouts are very good if you roast them. There you go, Cal. Cal has questions about everything, which makes her annoying to watch a movie with. Cal is great. So go to Comedy Festival. .com.au or just go straight to comedy.com.au and get tickets to Cow Show, which is at the Victoria Hotel. Speaking of the Victoria Hotel, my show is also there. So Josh L Talks, I did the maths today on what show this is. So this is my 12th comedy festival, like full stand-up show for adults. I've done like two for kids. I've done a whole bunch of podcasts, done a play, done a like a double show. This is the 12th solo show, and I'm very much enjoying it. So thanks everyone who came out in Brisbane and already saw it, and Melbourne. All you've got to do is come along. So as an incentive to come along, I'm doing cheap tickets until I decide not to. Just go to the Comedy Festival website, comedyfestival.com.au, look for my name, Josh Earl Talks, and use the code word JERL for $15 tickets. That's right. $15 tickets. So cheap. Hey, also the podcast is on sale as well at joshua.com.au. Like I say at the end of this episode as well, the lineup this week, very, very good. It is Joel Kim Booster, Emmy Blotnick, both of those from the States, both appeared on Conan, Late Show with Colbert. It's going to be great. Plus Aaron Chan and Deanne Smith, who are always, always very, very funny. So make sure you come 3 p.m. at the European Beer Cafe. That's all from me now. Enjoy the rest of this episode. Hopefully I'll see you there, Melbourne. And hopefully Cal sees you there too. Cheers. All right, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. If you think it's true, you say yeah. If you think it's a lie, you say nah. Point if you get correctly. A point to the person the fact may or may not be about if you're incorrect. So, to Danielle. Now, when Kate was younger, her mother used to make her cluck like a chicken for her friends as a party trick.
It's such an animal-heavy episode.
If she'd start clucking faster, that'd be a turbo chook.
Because of this, Kate will just involuntarily cluck like a chicken when she's on her own. Yeah or nah?
Yeah.
You can ask her more questions.
I don't think she needs it, Josh. She's very confident.
Can you make the chicken noise now?
Now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do it. Okay, do it for me. Come on.
I can't because I'm laughing. Hang on.
That was it. That was the chicken. Wow. Okay. That was more musical than I expected.
That was like in song almost.
Yeah.
So you never had actual chickens growing up then, I take it?
No.
Oh, well, was that a diss because of the noise? Yeah, like, sorry. Oh, someone's never seen a real chicken.
No, because I myself have a good chicken call.
So you do. Would you please?
Can we hear?
One in there with us.
Adam, your chicken call.
No, please don't hit me. That's a coward version of a chicken.
So what age did this start and why did it start?
Mum just found out that I could do a chicken noise and it was when I was, I think, 7.
Okay, I'm going to change it to nah.
I think no.
I think, yeah, I mean, unless you were feigning with your chicken noise.
Feigning? What does that mean?
Like,
as in pretending you're not very good at it. It was another fish.
Maybe you're trying to throw me off the scent. I mean, like, was it just the chicken noise or did you do, like, the chicken as something?
Like no. Oh,
like a character. Like,
yeah, yeah.
No, it was just the chicken noise around mum. Yeah.
I have to say, I don't know if this helps you, Danielle. If I went around to a friend's house and they had a 7-year-old and they're like, you have to see this. My 7-year-old sounds a bit like a chicken. I wouldn't be like, wow, what a trick. You're like, oh, any person. Ah, your child has a voice box. I'm judgmental, though.
My friend's dad thought I could do a pretty good voice of somebody who just sucked in helium from a balloon. It would make me talk like that for a bit, but I don't actually think I could and say the alphabet backwards. And neither of those are interesting at all.
Yeah.
Please do the helium voice.
I don't even remember what it was like. It was just
that
like,
was good.
Yeah. So are you locking in no?
I don't know. This is hard. Yeah, I've changed.
You say yeah. You are correct. It was yeah. Okay. Point there for Danielle.
Thank you, sir. Oh, do it again. Can you do it with all your heart in it now?
Or has it just been so long between you?
No, it's just that I'm laughing. So, and she found out about that and she thought it was the best thing ever. And then she, like, lost her mind over it. And whenever we had any friends or family over, she'd be like, Kate, get in here. Katie, do the noise.
Oh, my God.
And then I'd just be like, I hate it so much. Do I tell the rest of the...
Go for it, yeah.
So, and then for, like, years she would do it. Like, until I was, like, 13 every single time. I was like, Mum, no, Mum, I don't want to do the chicken noise. Like, I'd get really upset. And then she finally let it go. And she was, like, very upset to let it go as well, which was ridiculous. But then I didn't do it for years. But then I was watching The Muppets with my friends. And I was like, oh, this is, like, Camilla and the chickens. You know how they, like...
Oh, yeah.
Gonzo's chickens.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they
yeah.
do all that.
Yeah.
And so it became, like, a fun thing in my friendship group. It just became a bit for, like... a month where I'd do the noise and stuff. And I sort of like reclaimed it as my own. And then I was driving once and just like driving into the city, and then I stopped at the lights at Brunton Avenue, and I was like just like clucking and singing the clucking noise, and I forgot the windows were open, and I just looked across, and there was this guy in his car like his mind was just I haven't really done it since then.
So a point there for Danielle. So to Kate, when Adam was 10, he begged his parents to let him take circus classes, but they refused, saying it was too expensive and it was just a phase. He then decided to do what he'd read about and run away and join the circus. But when he got there, they asked him where was his guardian, and Adam was very excited to tell him that, no, he'd just run away to take the classes. They immediately called his parents, and Adam had to wait there while his dad came to pick him up. Wow. Due to this, his parents caved and enrolled him, but Adam only lasted 2 weeks because he discovered it was just tumbling and shit.
Okay.
Yeah or nah?
What had drawn you, first of all, to the circus? Why were you so into it?
I went to the circus.
Okay.
And, it was back when they had animals and stuff like that. Like, no elephants or anything, but they had, like, camels and all that sort of shit. And I just thought it seemed cool. And I went through this phase where I was like, A, I wanted to join the circus, but I also just kind of wanted to run away. But I was fine at home. Like, everything was fine. I just always used to pack my bags. I remember picking up photos and looking at them for a second and then going, I'm putting them down, because I just, like, seen that in a movie.
Dude, but can I say it's good to get out there?
So we went to the circus, and we used to live, like, near the big field where it was. So I, like, walked 4 minutes to get to the circus. I was like, I'm here. You've got your new circus guy. I'll do whatever. Don't worry about me. I'll do a tightrope. I'll do whatever. And they were like, no, you won't. What are you doing here? You're a child. This is crazy. And then, my dad came. The rest of the story that Josh told.
So were you expecting animals and like a ring and like?
There were animals. Like, this is, it's the same circus I'd seen. This is back when there were animals. They had like camels and horses, and I think they had a lion, and they had like crazy animals back in the day.
Wait, so you ran away to the circus? Sorry, I thought you ran away to the circus school.
No. I didn't know where there was a circus school. I ran to the literal circus that was actually down the road, and like talked to some guy who was like fucking picking up camel shit. And he was like, what are you, why are you a performer? Are you
young
a
man,
small performer back from?
Do you have an agent?
Yeah. You know that? They discovered
I'd love
me.
Love to fire you out of a cannon.
Yeah. I had to climb over the fence, and it was really high, and they were like, wow.
Wow.
That was impressive. But yeah, then like they took me to a circus school, and it was shit. It was walking over tightropes that were like a meter off the, or less than a meter. What's the smallest measurement?
Centimeters.
Yeah, that. Off of the ground. And it was fucking bad and boring, and everyone was there with the sort of children
you
who
think
you can imagine wanting to do circus.
Like with the circus, if you go to circus school, there's like prejudice against real circus people to people that went and classically trained in circus.
Yeah.
In the same way that, like, you know, in stand-up comedy, people that go to a comedy school are sometimes, you know, looked down upon.
Yeah.
Because we're like, we went to the open mics and did it the hard way.
You've got to get out there and walk in. If you're not walking over tight ropes
totally.
For years in front of four people in a bar,
exactly.
Then you're not a real
yes.
fucking loser in a circuit.
Surely, though, if you do a stand-up, if you do a stand-up course, you're just going straight out to the open mics anyway.
I think, well, look, I've never done one. I don't know.
The difference is there's certain
like homework.
You need to have like skills for the circus, and even the circus we went to was shit as well. I think that was part of why I wanted to do it, because I was like, I could fucking do that. There was a dude who was on a unicycle, meant to be going on a unicycle across a tightrope, and he just didn't do it. He tried to do it for like 20 minutes and couldn't do it.
Did he fall off?
Yeah, heaps.
Buskers do this thing. Better. Buskers do this thing where they do it in three. Like, they fuck it up twice, and the third one they get it, and that's meant to build like suspense.
And they're meant
so
to show the trick is really hard.
Yeah,
but if you don't do it.
He did it like 11 times and then at the end was like, actually, I'm hungover or whatever, like, and then just didn't do it.
What do you think? I reckon it's not true.
You are correct. It was not true. Point F K.
I never left my house at
this
all.
Is good. Does the circus still come to town? Is that a thing in small towns?
Yeah.
I remember it did. Yeah, they bought a lion in the small town I grew up in.
Yeah.
And it was like, I can't imagine a world where that's okay now.
There's
in
no
a small
animals.
Town. Just in the middle of town in a park, there's a lion.
Yeah.
There was a circus that came to Preston, near where I live, not too long ago, and the animals were people in costumes.
Oh,
and
shit.
My sons, who at the time were 6 and 3, even they were like, this is bullshit. Yeah. I just want to see someone on the trapeze. So you get a point there, Kate. All right.
Hey.
To Adam. Point. Now, Sam.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, me.
During the summer, filmed a cricket show for Foxtel, where one of the guests was Shane Warne. Sam is a huge Warnie fan, and after
big,
the show,
big fan.
Warnie asked him if he wanted to go outside for a smoke. Sam said yes, and when they were out there, Warnie looked at Sam in the eyes and very sincerely said to him, "My life is the Truman Show." Yeah or nah?
Whoa!
Please tell me that's
true. I don't want to know the answer because I want to believe it forever.
Well, look, I did meet Shane Warne. Like, we hung out. He's a crazy, crazy guy.
Yeah.
Crazy guy.
And so you were talking to him.
I had to go through the show with him. So I was like a writer on this show.
Yeah. Well, because you were on it as well. I remember I never watched it, but I saw it on at a pub where I was actually doing a gig like a real person does.
Okay, yeah.
Not one of these fucking learner circus people who go out. Anyway, what was he like?
He was the most genuine person I've ever met in my life.
Okay.
So he was like, and it kind of makes
bit
sense.
Bit of a diss on us, but that's fine. That's fine, we'll move on. Yep, okay.
No, look, I stand by the comment. I'm not going to. He was just very like, it makes sense that he's so popular. It's because like he's very much true to who he, like he's a crazy idiot.
Yeah.
But like that's kind of who he is, and I think that's always well liked, even though he's done many things that are problematic, and he's taken money from Indian bookmakers, and
yeah,
you know, he's a drug cheat.
I used to have a little VB beer. What do you call them? Beer holder. Yeah. What are they called? Stubby holder.
Stubby holder, yeah.
And when you put it in, it would do a Shane Warne quote every time. So you put your beer in and go, "Man, it's not a camel. How about a VB?" And it had like six of them. And I used to just take it out and put it back in all the time to annoy people because it would rotate around the same ones of like, "Yeah, Alpha 6, how about a VB?" all these fucking...
Do you still have that? That's great.
Nah, I think it ran out of battery at some point because I remember it being like, "Man, it's not a camel. How about a VB?" By the end. But yeah, you'd be yourself if you knew the show was about you. I think you're right that Shane Warne, and you've also told me that Shane Warne would just be like a pretty straightforward guy.
Yeah.
And I reckon he wouldn't think he's in the Truman Show. If anything, I think he would not like the movie The Truman Show because Jim Carrey wasn't funny in it.
Well, look, yeah, I don't... Yeah, like, so what's, is that your answer?
Yeah, no? I reckon nah.
You are incorrect. It was true.
What?
Yeah. Awesome.
100% true. Like, we were running through the show and then, like he looks at me, like, very seriously. He was talking about, like, people, like, asking for stuff all the time. And then he looked at me, he's like, "My life is like the Truman Show." He's like, "Just everyone knows who I am and knows what I'm doing."
Cunt, you're about to be on a TV show. Of course you feel like you're being filmed right now.
But it looked like a moment of seriousness from him. And then he asked me to go smoke a cigarette with him, and I was like, as if I'm not going to go smoke a cigarette with Shane Warne.
Yeah.
Like, of course. Yeah. So we went out in the front, and then I finished it, and I was like, the show's over at this point. And I'm like, I'll see you later. And so I walk back inside, and then his car is just parked out the front in a no load. Like, you're not allowed to park there. And then he just sits there with, like, the door open and then smokes, I reckon, like, 5 to 10 cigarettes just nonstop for the next half an hour. And we're kind of inside still watching him, just being like, this is weird. And then finally finishes and then, like, does a burnout and leaves.
Man,
it was like the best day of my life.
He does have a weird life though. Like, I remember seeing like some news thing where it was like Shane Warne went home with and some other person who was like kind of famous. That would be a fucking nightmare if every time I went home with a famous person that there was news about it. You wouldn't read about anything else.
All right, to Sam. Now, Danielle.
Oh, yeah, great.
Recently did gigs.
What animal are we dealing with now?
None.
No animals.
Danielle saw Bigfoot.
Danielle did gigs in London at the Soho Theatre.
Congrats.
And at the very start of the show, one night, a woman started yelling out, "Twins! Twins!" Danielle stopped the show and tried to make sense of what she was doing when she figured out this woman apparently looked like Danielle. Danielle got the house lights up and saw the woman who looked nothing like Danielle. Danielle continued with the show, but the entire time was thinking, "I look nothing like this fat idiot." Yeah or nah?
Like, it just, it, like, okay, look, I'll play this out a bit, but I already know. What, so was she British?
Yeah.
So already a bit yuck looking.
Yeah, I just didn't really like, I don't know, because I start off talking about my sisters and their twins, so I thought maybe she was just yelling twins, like, more twins gear. Love the twins gear.
Yeah, keep going. That's the stuff
more
we want.
Stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Or maybe she was a twin or something, and then eventually I was like, you gotta stop. What is this? And then she was like, oh, we look the same. And then, like, we just didn't.
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, not one thing that we had in common.
Did anyone in the crowd just like, well, you look nothing alike?
Or... Well, no, they didn't want to be rude, so I was.
What did you say?
Well, I was, like, looking at her because, like, number one, she had, like, red hair, like, not dressed at all in a similar way. And so I was like, what about us do you think looks the same?
And what did she say?
She's just like, well, I think we've got like similar mannerisms and like built in like.
Similar mannerisms is like enough for you to stand up in a comedy show and be like, we're exactly the same.
You're being loud in this theater, I'm being loud in this theater.
And our facial structure. But that, like, I just don't understand because, I mean, like, number one, makeup very different.
Oh, so yeah, that, okay.
I don't know what your facial structure is if you've got. Like loads and loads. You could have contoured anything.
Absolutely.
You could have gone into that purposefully contouring it to make it look like me.
Like you, yeah.
And if you did that, you did a very bad job. You did not look anything like me. And then, yeah, like hair different, clothes different, everything different. So I was just like the rest of the show thinking like, do I not see myself?
So
I look in the mirror?
Your brain is gaslighting you.
Yeah. Do I not? What does everybody else see? Because when I was a kid, I used to like look in the mirror and look in the mirror for so long that I thought I would see this other girl I went to school with, Shana Krillis.
Oh, my God. I've heard the idea of being like, oh, I don't even recognize myself.
Did she die like you too? And is that like...
Oh, you took over her spirit.
Yeah, maybe. I used to think I was like, because I didn't know my biological father. I have a dad, but it's not my... And I was like, maybe my biological father was her father too, because I would look in the mirror and I'd be like, nah, I reckon I've got some of her in me. Like,
oh my
I
just God. Thought
we kind of looked a bit similar. So I was worried then that maybe that was because that hadn't happened for years, that maybe I just wasn't seeing myself properly.
Right.
If we cut to this show and it's a terrified audience watching you yell at a mirror.
Jesus. Yeah.
That got like pretty, that's serious. That's mirror thing. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
No, that's just surely that happens. I was talking to my cousin the other week when I was in Brisbane and she said she used to look in the mirror and she'd see our cousin sometimes. Like she'd see her face and think it was our cousin and be like, ah, oh, no, we're too similar.
Are you sure you guys aren't looking through what? Windows?
Yeah.
No, sorry, I thought this was a normal
thing. And looking in the mirror and going like, oh, God, I look just like one of my family members.
I'm starting to think that after you shouldn't have told that story because now I'm like, I reckon this woman looked exactly like me. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you've literally said you can't recognise yourself in a mirror. Yeah.
So you wouldn't have a clue what you look like.
I don't have red hair anymore.
Well, who knows what colour hair her was?
Yeah, that's true.
Colour hair her was? What colour hair she had? Look, now I can't even talk.
What do you reckon, Sam? Yeah or nah?
Oh, like, yeah.
You are incorrect. It was nah. Point there for Danielle.
I would never call anyone a fat idiot. How dare you?
No, I feel like that was the... I forgot about that bit, to be honest.
All right, the end of the round. The scores are Adam on 3 points, Kate on 3 points, Sam on 5 points, and now in the lead, Danielle on 6 points.
Oh, it's all over.
You can get it back because
this is a victory lap.
This round is called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about everyone in the room apart from me. If you think you know who it is, buzz in, say your name, that's your buzzer. You can get a point if you get right, point off if you get it wrong. Only round you can lose points. You can't buzz in for your own. The first one is this one. Who bombed at a gig so bad they left out of the fire escape so they didn't have to face the audience?
Kate.
Yes, Kate.
Sam.
No, that was Danielle.
I shouldn't have yelled at that woman. Called her a fat idiot.
Was it the same night?
No, it was in Comedy Festival last year. It was like the only, like, I had like a really great run and it was the only show that went like bad. And it went so bad. And it was the night I had a reviewer in and I just left out the exit. And I used to like, I'd wait to say goodbye to the audience all as they left. And that night I was like, nah, man, will ever see my face
was
again.
Was that the small room at the Vic Hotel?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I've done that before. When I found out that fire escape opened, it changed my comedy.
Finally, I've got somewhere to sleep.
Otherwise, you've got to walk out and you kind of see the audience. Yeah, every night I was like, I never have to see anyone again. It was the best.
I didn't know it existed. I just knew there was a door there and I did say, I was like, can I open that and just go? Do I have to go through a kitchen? Because I'm going. I will not go out to face them. I will not.
Pushing the ceiling up like you're getting out of an elevator. Do, 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 do in the fucking ceiling afterwards. That's weird. There's possums in here.
Question two. Who had a sausage thrown at them at a gig?
Adam.
Yes, Adam.
Sam.
You are correct.
He looks hungry.
Yeah.
Was that Melbourne Uni that happened?
Yeah. I think there's footage online of it.
Really?
I remember someone filming it and I was like, don't film it. And then a woman... Like through the, because there was a sausage.
Is this that one where you had to walk around like the whole queue of people lining up for sausages?
Yeah. And so it snaked. There was a free sausage on at Melbourne Uni, and they were like, we'll do some comedy. It's outside, like 400 people.
Yeah.
And the line snaked around the whole audience. And I remember I said to a woman, I was trying to do crowd work to like win them over. And I said to a woman, I was like, hey, what do you do for a job? And then she looked at me and she goes, oh, no, I'm just here for a sausage. And then I was like, someone pay attention. And a woman literally threw a sausage. At me. And then I tried to eat it. It was degrading.
Fuck.
Question three. Whose biggest pet peeve is lending their vacuum to their neighbours?
Danielle.
I heard Sam first.
Kate.
You are correct. Yes. Point to Sam.
Hate it.
Did you say Sam or did you say Tim?
What do you mean they ask for your...
Sam. You said Tim and I was like... You've spent too much time.
What mirror are you looking at? do you ever lend it to your neighbours?
Yeah, what kind of neighbours do you have where you...
Twice before, which is like I think... All apartment blocks should come with a vacuum cleaner.
Without a vacuum cleaner, I agree.
It is an annoying thing to have to own when you live in an apartment.
Yeah.
But I don't like vacuuming because now I'm like, oh, someone's going to hear this and then be like, can I please use your vacuum cleaner? What? And I don't want strangers' skin bits in my vacuum.
Yeah, I would never think to ask to use someone else's vacuum cleaner.
Also, we've got one of those bagless ones, which seems like a really good idea, but I absolutely hate it because you have to turn it upside down and then the dust just, you get covered in dust.
Oh, you cover the bag over it.
And then I'm just like, oh, I'm getting covered in their skin. What you should do is just
buy a little cheap dust buster and then loan that out when they ask. Go, that's what we use. That's what you're hearing. And then
you could just be like, fuck off.
Yeah, I don't answer the door now. I just don't.
Oh my God. But what's the soundproofing like that they can hear you vacuuming?
Oh, there's no soundproofing. We're in like a really old apartment block.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We'll just get the broom out.
No.
knock, knock, knock. Can I borrow your jigsaw? It sounds like you're cutting up something.
All right, question four. Who here has flooded every room in their house that has a tap in it?
Adam.
Yes, Adam.
I was getting fuck.
Kate.
Oh, yeah. Danielle, Kate, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say Danielle.
Well, yeah, I was going to say Adam and then Adam said it and then I heard Sam say S and I was like, yes!
I thought you because it's like, the frogs need somewhere to live.
We need the frogs to get rid of the snakes.
Do you know a fact about frogs that my son told me the other day? Mm, yeah. If you put frogs in a glass of milk, the milk will never go off.
What?
Well, yes, it will. It's got a fucking frog in it. Yeah. It's already ruined.
You can't drink the milk.
As long as the frog is alive, that milk will stay fresh.
Now, you can't just drop that out without any explanation whatsoever.
Have you Googled this?
I don't need to. My son is not a liar.
Is it the frog filtering it through its...
I don't know, but he just told me a fact that he learned from watching some National Geographic show.
Right.
That a frog, if it's in milk, the milk won't go off.
I can imagine it filtering it through because they're amphibious. That's the fact I know about frogs.
Would it filter through like into their body?
Like into their body and it takes out the toxins like a plant making oxygen.
Yeah, but you're totally right. It was a great point initially, Adam, is that the milk is still ruined. It's like it might not be off, but it's off in another way.
But if you put a bunch of frogs in industrial milk vats, then you wouldn't necessarily know about the frogs in there. You just get it out of a tap.
Yeah, that's what long life milk is. They've just had frogs in their
tap. Yeah, they shit it out as powder.
That is ridiculous. My granddad used to. I've got a frog fact, which I think is, it almost certainly has to be not true, but my family say it as if it's fact, which is that if you have a frog in your shower or bathroom or something and you take it outside, all the time, they'll just keep on reappearing. They'll be back there the next day. So what my family said you want to do to get rid of the frog is you take the frog outside and then you throw the frog back at the house. The frog won't expect that.
Oh, yeah, you
it'll be thinking
them.
You threw it away. So then it'll hop in the other direction, aka away from your house.
You put a tiny little blindfold, spin it around.
And then you say, go, get out of here. We don't want to see you again. And then you cry as you turn around. All right, question five. Who got me in trouble with a radio interview that we did together?
Sam.
Yes, Sam.
Adam.
Yes, you are correct. Yes, it was Adam.
You look confused for ages.
I was so confused. I was just running some math. I was like, I was like, who would be in a radio studio, and then who's a naughty person in here? And then I was like, it's probably Adam.
I don't know if Adam knows this.
Well, I don't know this.
You're on CNFM doing the breakfast show, and I was doing this thing for Telstra. So an ad for Telstra where they just wanted a thing about Gen Y is how they use apps on their phone. And so they paid me, this is unbelievable, $5,000 to do a morning of radio interviews.
To go on Sin and do it as well. Like that.
There was only three stations that said, yeah, we'll do it. Sin was one, and then two in New South Wales.
Okay.
And then it was the easiest money in the world. I was sitting there just going, I don't even have to leave the house. I'm just doing them all on the phone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This would have been in like 2011.
Yeah. And then we talked about joke thievery, and you said, that's as bad as rape.
Did I?
Oh, my God.
It was a different time. It was breakfast radio. You could say anything on breakfast radio.
And then so we were just – and then afterwards I got in trouble by Telstra going, you talked about rape on the radio to promote our stuff. I'm like, well, I didn't talk about it. The presenter brought it up. I quickly – and yeah.
And so did they make you give the money back?
No, not at all. But they made me do more interviews.
Because of you, not
No, because only three – like because – I had a morning where no one booked in any interviews, and I was still going to get the money. And then Sin came on board, and then they found two more, and then I got another day of it, and so I did like four more after that.
God, but you must have been so annoyed because like doing an interview on Sin is like not doing a radio interview at all. Yeah. Anyway, like no one's listening, so it's
especially if this is targeted at millennials.
Yeah.
Then they are listening to podcasts.
Well,
how
this
you
is
doing, 20, millennials?
2011. This is 2011, though.
Yeah,
it's like, what were you doing trying to do Bill Hicks but back then? What were you? Yeah. What were
oh,
you, what
man,
was your deal?
I fucking heard when I did Raw was in 2011 as well.
Yeah.
And I heard a recording of it about a week ago. Raw Comedy is like comedy competition. I was 20, 21, something like that. And I was doing like a British accent. I was doing like that, but like not a full like joke British accent. Like, hey, how you going? I was doing like a, well, I could da 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 da. And like, I was a fucking piece of shit. But I was like a 20-year-old. Yeah. Every 20-year-old sucks.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
No one should be judged on their first year of comedy.
Fuck no. Except for me, who was obviously terrible.
No, you were good. I remember because I remember knowing you from when you were 16.
Yeah, I did like a little bit when I was 16 and then stopped and got worse and then came back.
I think that's what everyone who starts really early does. They're really good, and then they get that 19, 20-year-old confidence.
Yeah.
And you don't want to see that on stage.
It's a nightmare.
And then they come out of it.
Nothing
worse
than
a
19-year-old just telling it how it is.
Oh, my God.
Yuck.
All right, next question. Who here has a political science degree?
Adam.
Yes, Adam.
None of you. Kate.
No, it's Sam.
Thank Sam?
You very much, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
I didn't know that.
True. Yeah, I'm actually a genius. Why are you laughing? It's true. I got great marks. I'll answer any political question
I guess
right
you
now.
Did do that tweet about fucking the kissing.
Absolutely. Yeah, See, here we go.
Pretty political.
That's what I learned in first year. They were like, if the politicians kiss, you get to decide. That's how you decide who votes.
Next question. Whose jaw chatters if they laugh too hard?
Sam.
Yes, Sam.
Danielle.
No, that was Kate. No,
it's Kate.
I reckon both of you would, though. You don't have half a point?
I've got a strong jaw.
Next question.
Never check.
In the video of their first ever gig, who looks like they're not wearing any pants?
Adam.
Okay. Yes, Adam.
Danielle.
Yes, you are correct. Yes.
Give a video of your first go.
Honestly, I kill.
That's because they're like, she's not wearing pants.
Yeah. They're laughing from the second I walk on the stage.
In the video, I was wearing like grey jeans, but the lighting is so yellow and they're quite light that it does just look like skin colour. I've got like a black t-shirt that kind of covers up like my crotch area. So it kind of looks like I'm just wearing the shortest dress anybody could ever possibly wear. Like if I turned around, it'd be full ass. But you never see that.
The Winnie the Pooh of comedy.
Yeah. And our final question for the game. Who thinks Who Dares Wins is the greatest TV show of all time?
Danielle.
Yes, Danielle.
And Sam.
You are correct, yes.
Of course he does.
That's like my whole show is about Who Dares Wins. Not even joking. It actually is. So please come.
It was a great show.
Oh, it's the best show.
I still remember one where it was, they did the small ones where they walk around a shopping center and make people do them for 50 bucks.
Yeah.
There was one where it's just, reach in this spaghetti. You can get $50 and everyone's like, nah, yuck, which is fucking insane to me.
Yeah.
You would do it?
Yes. Reach into regular spaghetti. It wasn't even weird. It wasn't like, oh, there's a frog in it, so it'll last forever. It was regular spaghetti.
Are you sure? Because I feel like I remember that one very vividly. And yeah. I don't think it was reaching. I think it was fish it out with your mouth.
$50 is in the spaghetti.
That makes more sense. Because I do a whole bit in my show about it. In fact, like, I'm not even joking. Half my show is about who does. But, like, the worst one I saw a woman get a golf ball hit off her forehead once for $20.
No!
For $20. They put, like, a little, like, bit of AstroTurf down on her forehead and then got a guy. And this is the crazy bit. It wasn't like they bought in, like, Tiger Woods. It was just he asked another guy in the supermarket if he'd played golf before, and he's like, yep, all right. And so he came in and hit the golf ball off someone's forehead.
Oh, the best ones were when it was just like some dude in the street in the middle of the day, hey, roll a blade off this half pipe, and they just absolutely fuck their back for $50. So good. All right, at the end of the game, the scores are Kate Dennett on 3 points. Yeah. Adam Knox on 4 points. Sam Torton on 6 points. But our winner on 8 points is Danielle Walker.
Oh, I get it. I've been bested.
People should know she's not been wearing pants this whole time.
Because you win, Danielle, you get to plug your whatever you want to plug first.
Oh, probably my comedy festival show, which starts this Thursday. I don't know when this
starts tonight.
Yes, it starts tonight.
Oh, cool.
So please come down. It's called Myths and Legends at 7:15
at the Victoria Hotel. Great, Sam.
Yes, I'm doing a comedy festival show. It starts tonight as well. Probably sold out, if knowing me. And now there's so many tickets. Come. I was doing it in a tent in Adelaide, and there was a magician next to me, and then a DJ and a man cracking whips. So it is ready to go.
Weird thing is, it was just next to the street. And that's what happens in Adelaide.
It's called Straight from the Shoulder, 8:15 in the Town Hall.
Great, Adam.
I got two shows. I'm doing a sketch show called Chimp Cop, which is just sketches. And I'm doing my show, which is a stand-up show called My Compliments to the Jeff. And then in brackets, it says, pretend my name is Jeff. It's a fun little parody of shows that have a bit of a pun on the name. If you like that joke, why don't you come down to my show? It's on 9:45 every day at Acme, except for Mondays.
Great. Kate.
I have a podcast, Cod Luna. I almost missed it. I podquest Cod Luna. That's it.
So podcast, Lona, it's you.
It's just me.
And it's like, is it 6 episodes, the first season?
Four episodes.
Yeah,
sketches.
Sketch. Funny. Thank you. It's small. It's easy to listen to.
Great. Hey, if you listen to this and you're in Melbourne, come on down to European Beer Cafe. The live shows kick off this Sunday. This Sunday's the lineup is Joel Kim Booster, Emmy Blotnick, Aaron Chen and Deanne Smith. So make sure you come along to that. Tickets
go to Sam
Josh
Torton was booked for the live show.
No, that was the one today, but the order, we had no one turn up to watch.
Well, that might happen on Sunday too. Anyway, go to joshua.com.au for all the ticket details. Thanks for playing. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.